You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. Let's go out to our Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Gary Myers joins us. He's the author of Brady versus Manning, the untold story of the rivalry that transformed the NFL on Brady's retirement announcement yesterday. Again, we kind of got a little bit of a feel for that over the weekend, but it was official yesterday. How are you, Gary?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this morning?
Thank you so much. In terms of, there's so many statistics and there's so many stories and there's so many ways that Brady is going to be remembered in the 22 years. He wasn't the biggest. He wasn't the strongest. He wasn't the fastest. He incorporated so many different things that made him a winner. What made him? What was the characteristic, though, that he can own that is different than other quarterbacks?
Well, I just think his competitiveness, his will to win, the chip that he carried on his shoulder for over 20 years in the NFL, you know, even after that first wave at the beginning of his career when he won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, he never lost that edge that he had at Michigan where he felt he was really slighted and he had to sit on the bench there for 3 years before he got a chance to play. So, and then getting picked in the 6th round of the draft where he was insulted and really distraught over that. I think he carried that mentality through his entire career because we know, I mean, he has a strong arm, but he never had the strongest arm in the league. He certainly isn't very mobile. He's very smart. So it was a lot of the intangibles that really set him apart. And it's really admirable then he plays a position that is mentally challenging. Digesting those playbooks is not all that easy. The commitment he puts into it, especially during the season with, you know, 12-hour days, and then he works his butt off in the off season. I think he's retiring because he's just mentally tired and he's drained. It has nothing to do physically. He's fine.
Does that surprise you, Gary, though? Like he once said, I will quit when I suck. That never came. It's surprising, right, though, that at some point he did say, you know, I'm leaving after an MVP-level season. I am leaving with everybody wondering how far I could have gone.
Well, when he said I'll quit when I suck, he meant that. But it didn't mean he wouldn't quit when he didn't suck.
That's true.
if you want to parse his words there.
Sure.
I'm sure he would have preferred to walk away having won 2 in a row, although I think if he had won it again this year, and they came relatively close, I mean, they got to the 2nd round of the playoffs, I think if they won it again this year, he would have come back and tried to become the first to win three in a row. No team has ever done that, and I think that would have been enough of a challenge for him to, you know, tell Giselle, you know, sit tight for another year, honey. I'm going after history here. I'm going after more history here. But to be able to walk away when you had the kind of season that he had, he'll probably finish 2nd in the MVP voting to Aaron Rodgers, and you can certainly make a case that he deserved to win the award. And maybe if the voting took place right now, knowing he retired as a going away present, you know, the voters would have given him one more MVP. But not many people get to walk away like Elway and Jerome Bettis and Michael Strahan, with it, you know, all Hall of Fame players who walked away having just won a championship. That's a storybook ending. He's had a storybook career, and to expect the perfect ending was probably asking just a little bit too much.
Is he different? You know, he's on another level because it's not just against the football greats. He's up as one of the greatest athletes our country has ever seen in terms of his accomplishments. Does he separate himself from the Jordans and the Gretzkys given his the consistency of being great at his position?
You know,
he never had a Wizards. He never had a New York Rangers. He never had a period, right, of time where he wasn't relevant.
Yeah, people don't tend to put Bill Russell in the conversation.
And they should, right,
greatest winners. I mean, would he win 11 championships in 13 years, something like that? It's just, I understand that because it's a different generation and we kind of have a line of demarcation for this era with Jordan as the standard. I mean, Gretzky somewhat, but there's a lot of people in this country who are not into hockey. Everybody's into basketball and football, and that's not to knock hockey. It's just that it's just not on the same level as baseball, basketball, and football. I mean, he won seven. Jordan won six. You want to just use that as the standard by which we're going to measure? I don't know. Jordan clearly was a far superior athlete, but in terms of being a winner, you're right. He when Jordan came back and played for the Wizards, he wasn't Brady's age now.
Yeah.
And I just read something this morning that was so interesting. Brady had more touchdown passes in his 40s than he had in his 20s. And you can say, well, you know, he didn't really start playing until he was 23, 24. But then again, he only played half of his 40s. So it's probably he probably played a few more years in the 20, in his 20s than he did in his 40s. But still, it's remarkable. I mean, that makes it even more remarkable that he had so many touchdown passes in his 40s. Now, the game changed a bit, too. During the course of his career, we really saw this transition to the NFL becoming a passing league and running backs being devalued and throwing the ball 35 times a game, 40 times a game, which never happened at the beginning of his career. So the numbers are skewed a little bit that way. But just the level he played at is pretty remarkable.
Again, we're talking to Gary Myers, author of Brady versus Manning, The Untold Story of the Rivalry That Transformed the NFL. In your research into that book and how those two guys, again, will be forever linked, how was what did you find out about Brady and the way he thought about Manning when they were competitors? Maybe not now when they're kind of friends in their older age. When they were competitors, you make the point, you know, here's Manning born into NFL royalty. Brady was not, and yet there was this throne to be had. How did he feel about this rivalry?
Well, I think he embraced it, and I think Peyton did too, even though he came out on the wrong end of it about 50% of the – more than 50% of the time, rather. I mean, it was 11-6 for Brady. That included 3-2 for Manning in the playoffs. The thing that really surprised me, and it's genuine, that even when they were playing, they were good friends. And, I mean, they wanted to – beat each other's butt on the field, although they were never on the field at the same time. I mean, those were the games that they looked forward to the most, and they were most intense in their preparation because they knew they'd have to beat the best to beat the other. But they were also really good friends, and that happened, you know, as Tom started to establish himself and win championships. He and Peyton found they had a lot in common, that very few players have to deal with the things that Peyton does just because of his celebrity. And Brady reached that level relatively quick in his career. So they found that they had an awful lot in common and they can relate to each other's lives. And that drew them closer together. And that was the most surprising thing that came out of my research from the book, because I didn't really know that. And now it's obvious. I mean,
yeah,
they
sure
play golf together and those charity things, and Tom showed up on the Manning cast this year. So people, you know, look at it like, oh, yeah, they're good friends. You know, and Peyton did one of those Peyton places, spent the day with Brady. I think it was at Jim Nance's house.
Jim Nance's house, yeah.
Right, if you saw that one, it was pretty funny. So now everybody goes, well, yeah, those guys are good friends. But they didn't know that. People didn't know that. I'm just saying I was as surprised as anybody, so I'm sure the readers were surprised to learn, if they read my book, that, you know, these guys would have dinner in the off season, and when each one of them suffered a season-ending injury, Brady in 08 and Peyton in 11, that they were calling each other on the phone or texting, just to check up on each other. And, I mean, I really think it's not for show. I think they have a genuine friendship.
There's this big conversation, and I kind of enjoy it, but I you know, it's one of those debates about the great butterfly effect. What if the tuck rule wasn't the tuck rule? What if the Raiders recovered that ball, went on to win that game, went on to play the Steelers, Brady gets no championship, and Bledsoe, who was the starter, is there? But then you read a little bit more into the details. Belichick always liked Brady, liked him as a quarterback better. Do you think there's something about that butterfly effect occurring, or do you think Brady would have become Brady even if that season hadn't gone their way? He would have found a way. He would have risen to the top in some way, shape, or form.
Well, there's a lot to dig into there. First of all, Belichick wanted to start Brady at the beginning of the 2001 season. He had a far superior training camp to Bledsoe, and Belichick didn't like Bledsoe. But Kraft had just signed Bledsoe to a $100 million contract, and Belichick had been through hell when he benched Ernie Kosar in Cleveland. And Bledsoe was extraordinarily popular in New England, and so Bill didn't want to start off his second season there after going 5-11 in his first year by upsetting the fan base and starting this unknown rookie over the face of the franchise. So second game of the season, as we all know, Mo Lewis knocks out Bledsoe, Brady plays. To spin it forward to what happens in the game against Oakland if the call is called correctly and or called differently than it would be today because they changed the rule. You know, the NFL claims that the call was made correctly after replay. But just if Woodson's recovery, or they no, Woodson made the hit. If the Raiders' recovery was able to stand, would Brady still be Brady? I think he would have because they probably would have traded Bledsoe after the season, as they wound up doing. I just don't think winning a game, the Super Bowl that year, when he was really just a game manager, other than that last drive against the Rams, they never really relied on him to win games. I think that he might have won six instead of seven. Players of that caliber, one game isn't going to change his career.
They
it certainly was a great jumping off point.
Yeah, they find a way. I mean, if not at that particular moment, some of them, it's almost like, look, there's no way you're containing this or putting it in a box. Somehow this talent is going to emerge. Gary,
well,
great stuff.
I mean, think of it this way. Belichick is now considered the greatest coach in NFL history and Brady the greatest player in NFL history. Are we going to assume that if they didn't win that championship in 01, that none of this would have happened? I think what happened would have happened anyhow.
Yeah.
He just would have won the one less championship if that call went the other way.
Again, the author of Brady versus Manning, the untold story of the rivalry that transformed the NFL, Gary Myers. Really appreciate your time. Great insight on a legendary career. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And the book is still available on Amazon for anybody who's interested.
Yep, that's right. You can catch it at Amazon. Again, Brady versus Manning. Again, the untold story of the rivalry that transformed the NFL. It's on a Progressive guest line. Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer only at Progressive.com. All right, come back. Thoughts on that as we continue with Wake Up Call.